Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Edition of Sports Time Radio. I had to think about it there just for a second. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. And, of course, for a positive start, Dan hooked the music up so it plays by itself again. But if you'd like to call into the podcast, here you go. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. And if you guys could, would you link Schomburg Stew in the description, because I forgot to do it earlier. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan, and I would greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, though, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Free.
All right, now, Dan, I had no idea this was going on, and I'm wondering if you did, but apparently today, since it is 8-8, the Mickey Mouse channel has turned their second channel. You know, I think they have four, but only one of them is actually number two. Today it is the Ocho. Did you hear or know or that they were going to do anything about this?
No. I'm going to look that up right now. Because it's 8-8.
Yeah. And they now they did, you know, they've been showing some unique sports. They actually started it right at, I think it was midnight Eastern time, where they started with the dodgeball movie, where the term the Ocho came from. You know, they mentioned that they're on the Mickey Mouse Network number 8, and it's called the Ocho or whatever. And it's actually a pretty humorous scene between Gary Cole and Jason Bateman in the dodgeball movie. And then they've been showing some, I guess the best way to call it is unique sports from around the world. Like, I saw they showed I don't remember the pronunciation, was basically it was a tomato fight, which I thought was kind of strange. I saw a little bit of that before I went to bed. And when I got up, I caught a little sumo wrestling. And then I was excited because they had roller derby on, except when I went in and looked at the date, it was from last year. I was kind of like, really? You couldn't find any more updated roller derby than this to show? So that was a little disappointing, but, you know, I know a little later on they're showing a live dodgeball tournament, and they're going to wrap the broadcast, their broadcast 24 hours up with the dodgeball movie again. So, I just thought it was kind of strange, but in a way kind of interesting, you know, especially for them as, you know, straight-laced and conservative as they are with their ideas and all that other fun stuff they do. I was a little surprised that they would kind of do something like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to have fun. Maybe they'll do it every year. I was trying to see if they had any of the games from something in the movie he was talking about, some wrestling challenge or something.
So yeah, you know, I mean, it's a nice change and it's fun, and I mean, you get to see. I know I've heard a couple of people talking about. Apparently, they had a people stacking competition, more or less, is the way they described it. You just try to basically build a tower out of people and see how high you can get. So I'm sure that's quite dangerous and. You know, I was a little disappointed there was no parkour tournament or anything like that, but you know, we'll see as it goes on. And I hope it's something they can continue to do. You know, 8-8. I mean, once a year they can take the stick out of their butt and, you know, go ahead and have a little fun with it. But just wondering if you had happened to catch any of that today, because I only saw some pieces of it.
No, I didn't know about it until you mentioned it right now.
That's disappointing. But then of course, the other big news that was announced today on the good old Mickey Mouse Network is, the NBA has released some of their games. The full schedule hasn't came out, Dan, but some of the games have been released, and especially Christmas Day. All the Christmas Day games have been released, and now, Dan, I got to tell you, or actually I got to ask you, I'll give you one big guess. What's the headline game for Christmas Day?
Lakers versus Warriors.
There you go. Lakers at the Warriors. Dan, this is such a big game that it's not only going to be carried on the Mickey Mouse Network, but it's also going to be carried on ABC.
Why not TNT?
So, and the odd part is it's going to be kind of humorous because basically we're just going to watch the Lakers get blown out by the best team in basketball. But, looking at it, the schedule starts. You'll get to see your Knicks before you have to sit down for dinner, Dan. We've got the Bucks and the Knicks start at 11 o'clock our time. Then we got a couple of good games here. The Oklahoma City Thunder at the Houston Rockets is the 2 o'clock. 76ers and the Celtics at 4:30. Then it's Lakers-Warriors at 7, and the night wraps up with Blazers-Jazz at 9. So it's a pretty good state of game, with maybe the exception of somehow the Knicks getting mixed in there, but I guess they're New York, and that's okay to start the day off with, right?
Yeah, hopefully on the East Coast it'll be out.
Wait, you started to talk, and then you faked it, so you got to come back to me.
I said I was just surprised that they're going with prime time with the Cavs and or the Lakers and the Warriors.
Yeah, the weird thing is I guess I'm not surprised with the Lakers and the Warriors in the game. I thought they might be Lakers-Cavaliers so they could at least give LeBron a win on Christmas Day, because there's very little chance they're going to go into the fourth goal and actually beat the Warriors, unless by Christmas they have a lot of injured guys and something like that. Now, I think the game that could steal the day could be 76ers Celtics before them, don't you? Or was there another game you liked on the schedule better?
I think the Thunder and Rockets should be good. But, the three games in the middle should really be nice.
Yeah, and what's odd, and I can't figure out how they didn't manage to do this, because obviously, the NBA manipulates their schedule for this, because they get them if they want. What the hell is Raptors-Spurs? Because you can't tell me that either, Kawhi going back to San Antonio, or DeRozan going to Toronto wouldn't be a big deal. How did we not get Toronto against San Antonio in one of these games?
Because Pop didn't want to work on Christmas.
So, yeah, it would have been funny if he would have just, it would have been one of those days where he just didn't play anybody. Yeah, okay, hey, here you go. We're on, but I'm not playing anybody today. We're taking the day off. So.
Well, I mean, do you think that could be part of it?
I guess you never really know with him, do you? So, it's just one of those weird things. I mean, you take a chance putting them on, and to be fair, they're not expected to be one of the top teams in the West. They do look like a playoff team, but that's just top eight. Maybe they just weren't that interested. So, they did release some of the opening week games, Dan, some of the ones that they call notable. Tuesday, October 16th, I think that's going to be the first day of the season. It's 76ers Celtics again, and then it's Thunder Warriors is an opening week game. We'll also get Pelicans Rockets and Mavericks Suns are the 17th. On the 18th, Dan, we get the Bulls as they play the 76ers. And then LeBron opens up with the Portland Trail Blazers. October 19th is Celtics, Raptors, and then Warriors, Jazz. The 20th is Raptors, Wizards, and Rockets, Lakers. That could be a pretty interesting game. And then the 21st, the Rockets are actually playing back-to-back. I'm guessing they're in L.A. because it goes from Rockets, Lakers on the 20th to Rockets, Clippers on the 21st. So at least it's back-to-back with no travel.
Do you think we'll see more of that next year?
have I piqued your interest in the NBA? You're excited now for it to get started?
It's always fun in the beginning of the year, but I think what will make this season interesting is the fact that we don't know who's coming out of the East.
Yeah, at least it's a little bit of interest this year, huh, on what goes on in the East for change. I mean, you know, it looks like it's kind of Boston and Philadelphia, depending on how Kawhi does in Toronto. But, yeah, it should be fun. You got the Bulls winning the East? Is that what I heard you say?
Well, you know, on the cover they have for this article that I can't share right now, they have, you know, Durant, Curry, and LeBron, and then they have Irving, Bucks, Gio, or the Greek Freak, and then the guy from the Sixers. So I guess those are the three teams from the East.
Yeah, I guess you have to kind of wonder out East. I mean, you would think if, you know, and the big question I would say Boston is, are they going to be healthy? You know, Kyrie always seems to be hurt, and then Gordon Hayward is coming back from that horrible injury. But you think if they're healthy, you think they're the best team?
Wait, say this. Ooh, the Celtics, I think so.
Boston, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if the Bucks can actually perform, you know, I mean, you can make your case that Jabari Parker's not with them, but he really hasn't been with them for the last couple of seasons.
Right now he's not going to be with the Bulls this year, so that'll. You know, and then of course, obviously, you know, the Sixers got a. I guess if they mature, they could really be a force, couldn't they? If they kind of show that maturity.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've still got one more to this. A whole 2 months of movement to kind of go along. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the next 2 months, if they make any other move, trade.
You know, and oddly, I did see their first-round draft pick got injured, and there's a possibility that he may miss the entire season, which really just seems to be the thing that happens when you're drafted by the 76ers. It that's almost kind of strange, isn't it?
It seems to be just what happens.
Oh, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, wait, they picked this guy, so now he has to get hurt? Is that how that goes on? Or, you know, however that works out? And I'm just kind of like, wait, now this guy's hurt? What the hell? So, but yeah, that was the a lot of big talk early. You know, once the Christmas schedule came out or was just reported as coming out, it hadn't even been official yet. You know, they were all over the Warrior matchup. But I did see in other news. I don't know if you caught this one too. Your guy Carmelo has verbally agreed to join the Rockets. Nothing in writing yet. But apparently they've come to a verbal agreement on a contract. I don't know, Danny's your guy. What's he got left? And are you going to buy him in the auction league this year when it comes around?
No, I mean, do you think he's coming out of off the bench?
That they don't, you know, they haven't said that yet. Obviously, it's a little too early to kind of, you know, make that decision. You have to see who's where with the team. But, you know, remember, he was saying in Oklahoma City that he didn't want to come off the bench. So I don't know, will he be willing to do it in Houston?
I mean, I guess it just depends on if he has a choice or not.
Yeah. what I do find it funny, because there were, I did hear some people kind of, this got a kind of a smaller mention, obviously, than the scheduling and stuff. But I kept hearing guys ripping on Carmelo for his defense. So I guess, Dan, the question I have to pose to you is, can you name me more than a handful of guys who actually play defense in the NBA now?
More than a handful, because I've got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know there's Jimmy Butler. You know, there's obviously some of the big men, you know, who guard the rim and stuff and get the blocked shot. But yeah, other than that, who's playing defense in a league where you just stand up at the 3-point line and shoot? So I don't understand the big kind of riff there with it. Well, you know, his defense is, and then if he's going to the Rockets, did you see any Rockets play defense last year that weren't named Clint Capela?
No.
You know, I mean, you know, like James Harden is a lockdown defender. Yeah, okay. So, you know, he's widely criticized as one of the, if not the worst defender in the NBA, and these guys are complaining about Carmelo's defense. It's like, oh, God, it's just anything. You know, I mean, I think you should be talking more about the fact that he had his worst offensive year in his, what is it, 15-year career, I think he's been around now. You know, but I don't know how much of that was related to just being with Oklahoma City where there were other options, or if he had a bad year. So, you know, and I know you watch every Thunder game because he was in it. What did you see?
I don't even think I saw a Thunder game.
Oh, I thought you bought League Pass last year just to watch Carmelo. You know, and then, you know, and I did mean to mention, Dan, I know you were wondering, because you got to book the travel plans. The Lakers go to Cleveland on November 21st. So you can get all your – you got a little time to get your stuff in order so you can see LeBron and all stuff.
Nice. You know, I jumped on over to SpotTrack.com to check Carmelo's status. And I know you said it was verbal. But apparently it is actually a signed deal. He's going to make $2.3 million with the Rockets for this year. You know, by being bought out by the Hawks for $25 million. So I don't understand. I guess I don't understand how that works in the NBA.
Yeah, they have an odd system. You know, I would have no idea how to even attempt to explain that. But I did see, while we were on the Knicks earlier, I forgot to mention, apparently they are looking to trade Joakim Noah. If they can't try to find a trade partner, they are going to use that vision the NBA has where you can waive him and stretch out his money over a certain amount of years. So
I think that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, I can't see anybody really taking on that money. You know, but they did find a trading partner for Carmelo, so I guess you never know. So,
yeah, but I mean, I think there's a bigger difference in the fact that while Carmelo did kind of go bad, you know, there was still that potential he could still play, where I think when you look at Noah and the feet issues, you know he's pretty much geared up for 5 games a season.
Yeah, so, It'll definitely be interesting to see where he kind of ends up, or if he's just kind of out there. So we'll have to see. But I did want to switch up sports on you here, Dan. And before I get serious about baseball, I'm not sure if you know this. Do you know that it was 42 years ago today, Dan, that the Chicago White Sox wore shorts in a Major League Baseball game?
Yeah, that was the Hawks' favorite jerseys, or out unis.
So that was the black and white top, the black and white top with the collar, and then the shorts. And they did win that game and somehow managed to go 5-6. With one time in short playing softball, and I bowed no man. So apparently they did wear shorts 3 times that season. So I don't know how it worked out. But this is where I need you to help me out, man, because I'm too old to see the offensive. I don't know if you heard of this, but apparently yesterday, the Braves and Nationals played a doubleheader. They were talking about Juan Soto during his at bat, and Chip Perry was, giving his praise about what he's doing. Well, no surprise, called him a front runner for NL Rookie of the Year. But then Joe Simpson came on, and here's his direct quote, Dan. He said, he is, if he's 19, he has certainly got his man growth. He is big and strong. Now, apparently people were upset because he questioned his age. Dan, I'm guessing these people forgot that just a few years ago, there were a whole bunch of players who came over from different countries down south, Venezuela, Mexico, all these kind of places that not only had the wrong age, but some of them actually had the wrong name. So, and Mike Rizzo, the Nationals GM, got all heated, and apparently he spoke with Simpson about it. Was it really that bad of a comment that we should be jumping up and down in circles like this? I mean, it doesn't seem all that bad, and you can't tell me he's the first guy to question if he's actually 19.
Well, we're in the sensitive age, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I think we're almost at the point where we're at a too sensitive of an age, aren't we? I mean, this is nothing. Or am I missing something?
No, I think it comes to, what do you call it? That it's almost like an expectation, or maybe negative in the fact that what his nationality is, or he might be lying about his age.
Yeah, and again, he wouldn't be the first player to do it. And I'm drawing a blank on some of the guys, but I know just recently here, the Pirates closer changed his name and decided to apparently start using what was his given name after pitching for a few years as somebody else. So, it wouldn't be the first time stuff like this has happened. You get in some of these countries and, the birth certificates aren't exactly, exactly right. Or, I'd be surprised if they made him younger. In a lot of cases, you want your kid to be older so he can get into baseball sooner. I know they're signing him at like 15 and 16 in some Dominican countries, but, to make him younger would be a little strange. It wouldn't be the first time. And, looking at the comment, it doesn't seem like we should be making that this big a deal has been made out of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess maybe the point, too, should be that maybe some more investigation should be done as opposed to just assuming.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, maybe that's what they're upset about, is he just kind of threw the comment out there with no research. But,
yeah,
again, I mean, no, you know, with me.
You know, but that could be a major factor. But, you know, a lot of it, like, you don't know. You just don't know. And I think that's probably why they got upset, is because you just don't know. And, you know, but, and I hate to generalize because, you know, people, countries south of the United States, you know, are always, and, you know, that's one of the stereotypes that I hate when they throw on. Just in baseball, but there, you know, it's always, well, Latinos are a proud people. Well, aren't we all a proud people, no matter where we come from? So I kind of find that generalization kind of stupid. You know, it's about as great as the Hawks saying that, you know, Latino players aren't as funny in the locker room. I don't know if you remember that one, but that was a classic one. It was classic. You just feel like, what the hell are you talking about, Hawk? But aside from that, I mean, again, I think it's more so the fact that you don't know, and maybe some more investigation should be put into it. But it's also like an allegation that you're trying to cheat the system, or, you know, it could even hurt his status here in the States.
Yeah. So, I just, it seemed like it was more of a passing comment than it was, you know, like a flat out, you know, here this guy's lying about his age type of thing. And, you know, sadly, I've coached Little League long enough to know that this actually happens quite a bit. You know, obviously one of the famous cases is, you know, Danny Almonte, who was pitching against 11 and 12-year-olds when he was either 14 or 15. And, you know, he was just dominating and blowing people away, and everybody was, like, amazed. And it was like, oh, yeah, look at this kid. And, you know, it turns out his dad had orchestrated the whole thing. And, you know, it just kind of went that way. So, you know, again, it's a little league. It wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, well, and, you know, in other portions of it, again, you know, like I said, the status here in the States, you know, I don't know the guy or, you know, how he came to this country, but, you know, with the way laws are and, you know, with everything that's been going on with immigration today, you know, if a teenager is, you know, under a certain age, then, you know, they could be separated from their parents and kept here, whereas, you know, if you're 19, you might not be staying here and going back to where you came from, so to speak, you know? So, but, you know, I think it's, I think it may have been interpreted as more of an accusation than just like an offhand question.
Yeah, you know, I just think they made a much bigger deal out of it than they should have. I mean, I don't have a problem with Mike Rizzo defending his player, that's fine, but for it to kind of gain some media attention they did, I mean, we got to get over these things. I mean, you know, I mean, because what happens now if it comes out and turns out that he's 22 or 23? You guys go apologize to Joe Simpson? No. You never bring it up again. You just run and hide. So, and yeah. I mean, I don't think he is. I think he's probably legitimately 19. But, again, you know, like I said, it wouldn't be the first frickin' time. So, you know, get off the back.
Well, and, you know, the other side of it, too, is you don't know how much this reporter or the guy asking the question, you know, poses questions like this that just, you know, are kind of instigating.
Yeah.
More, you know, or doing what the report's supposed to do. But part of the thing the report's supposed to do is their investigation themselves before they make accusations.
Well, he's just a play-by-play guy, so, you know, he's not out there. Hitting the beat or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then the other fun thing, Dan, now this is gaining momentum among a lot of, well, obviously Cubs fans, but a lot of other baseball people who, like, aren't the old guard of baseball people. And I know you'll be excited for this because this one is Javi Baez for MVP. So there's a lot of baseball people who aren't associated with the Baseball Writers of America who believe he should win the award this year. It's a very close race. You know, there are some other guys right there. I know we talked about this the other week where Freddie Freeman edged out Nolan Arenado in an informal poll with Lorenzo Cain coming in third. I don't know why Matt Carpenter's name didn't come up a little more, considering he is now leading the National League in home runs, and he's been on fire for like the past, I don't know, almost a month. But yeah, Baez's name keeps coming up with, you know, Dan, I want to call it the younger crowd, because humorously, as you and I know, the Baseball Writers of America are a bunch of old men, and they took an informal poll of 10 of them, and only two of them, this article said, would vote for Baez, and one of them did so as the thing, quote, very reluctantly. Dan, even if Baez pulls out with these huge numbers, there's no way these old men are going to give him that award with the way he plays, right?
No. Well, he plays with too much passion, number one, and I think the ultimate deciding factor that would hurt the case for him with the old timers is the fact that he isn't every day at second base. You know, so if he's really into feeding his players and building them up and wanting them to get awards like that, his style of coaching actually is going to hurt Javi Baez.
And now, do you think that's what maybe hurt Matt Carpenter when they did that informal poll? Because I think he's played three positions around the Cardinal infield. I think he's played first, second, and third this
first
year.
First and third.
He hasn't exactly had a true
second.
I think he might have played a couple games there. I'm not sure. But I know he split a lot of time between first and third.
I think so. I mean, I'm still kind of I kind of go with the fact that, you know, it shouldn't – either you're an outfielder, you're a middle infielder, or you're a corner. You know, I mean, you really don't see a whole lot of guys who can do what Javi does, where he can kind of move from short to third. You know, I guess – but, in some retrospect, you know, you're either corner guy, middle infielder, or you only play on the left side of the field, or you're an outfielder. I mean, you know, to me, I get what Joe's trying to do, and it's so supposed to be progressive and blah, blah, blah. But to me, I think it creates more challenge for a guy like Ian Happ or even Chris Bryant. You know, I feel like there's still that separate.
Remember, to be fair, this was Theo's idea to make Javi a super utility guy. Joe Madden is putting Theo's This is actually a Theo Epstein idea.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, you're right. So, I mean, I guess maybe he's hurting the fact that he could be a, you know, potential MVP candidate by having him bounce around like that. But I still think, like, you know, with Javi, if you kind of stick to the second, short, third, it really, to me, it shouldn't hurt him because those kind of go along, but it's break time.
So, yeah, and just to catch up here, Matt Carpenter has played 66 games at third base this year, 56 at first, and 11 at second. So he has played a little bit at second base. You know, and I know, you know, Baez, of course, has played, you know, second, short, and third. You remember they wanted to try him in the outfield winter ball, and he was so bad that they actually gave up the experiment. This year, let's see what we got on him. I went right by his numbers. Can you believe I did that? Yeah, that's just ridiculous for me. This year we've got him. He has played 31 games, or wait here, 85 games at second. He's appeared at 31 games at short. Now, these aren't full games. He's, you know, bounced around here and there. He's played 14 games at third base, and I don't remember this, but he actually played a third of an inning at first base this year. So just kind of, I don't remember that one at all, but he did record a putout while playing first base. So we'll have to see. But yeah, that's been a big debate now here as of late is, you know, does he, or can he, I guess you should say, win the MVP award? And you have to wonder. I mean, his numbers are right there. He's hitting 300, 25 home runs. I believe he's leading the National League in RBIs right now with 88. He's got 19 steals, and, he did have those two steals of home, which is very exciting. I mean, that's one of those things you can kind of look at, I don't know. I wonder if, he's got enough. And, yeah, he is leading the National League in RBIs. The only guys he trails J.D. Martinez, who has 97 overall. And then you compare him to some of the other guys. Let me see here. Freddie Freeman is hitting 315. He's got 18 homers and 69 RBIs. He does have 28 doubles. Nolan Arenado is at 306. Now, he's got 29 home runs and 81 RBIs. So the power numbers and the runs driven in are a little better for Arenado. He has 24 doubles. Now, you compare him to Baez, who's hitting 300. He's 25 and 88, so he's right there. Not only does he have 31 doubles, so he has more than either guy, he also has 7 triples. So, yeah, you kind of add that in. And let me see if I can find Carpenter on this list. Here he is. Carpenter is at 282, so he's the lowest average of the bunch. But he does have 30 home runs, so he has the most home runs, but just 62 RBIs with those home runs. Of course, he is a leadoff guy. He has 33 doubles to go with that, and it looks like he scored 75 runs. Baez has 72 runs scored. Arenado has 75, and Freeman's at the bottom of that pile with 68. So, they're all very comparable. I do wonder, and maybe I shouldn't be surprised by it, but I'm wondering if anybody's going to notice Christian Yelich, because the Brewers are doing so well. We're talking about a guy who's hitting 323. Now, his power numbers don't stack up. He's got 17 and 59, but he does have 14 steals, so he's in kind of the category with Baez there. 25 doubles and 4 triples, so he's right around that group. I did read one of the other things, the knock on Baez is one of the voters didn't like his strikeout-to-walk ratio because he has struck out 105 times, which is nothing new with Baez. He's always done that. But he's only walked 17, and that apparently is a big knock on him. When you look at the other contenders, Freeman has 92 strikeouts to 56 walks. Arenado has 84 strikeouts to 56 walks. And Carpenter has struck out 107 times, so the most out of any of them. But he also has the most walks at 72. So I really guess it just kind of depends – how you lean or kind of what you're believing in an MVP is. Right now, maybe with the exception of Carpenter, all these teams are contenders. The Braves are contending. The Rockies are hanging in there. Of course, the Cubs are in first place. The Cardinals are kind of hanging around in the wild card. I guess it just kind of depends what you believe makes up an MVP. I mean, you can't really say. I mean, obviously Freeman is probably the most important Brave. Arenado is easily the most important Rocky, and Carpenter is easily the most important Cardinal. But this year you could make a really strong case for Baez being the most important Cub with, Anthony Rizzo having a really down year and Chris Bryant being hurt, most of the time. I mean, you look at the stats, and I'm on, the top, 50 I got a page for? And, the only guy hanging around Baez average-wise is Alberto Almora, and he's not even an everyday player. You get down to Jason Hayward, who is hitting 283 but only has 7 home runs. Wilson Contreras is hitting 280, but his power's not there this year either. He's got 9 home runs. So who's the most important Cub as you start going down this list? you know, it's got to be Javi Baez. So, you know, I think you kind of throw that argument out, and you know, it's going to be an interesting vote when it kind of comes along. But sadly, like, you know, Dan mentioned, I don't think the old guard is going to allow him to get this win. You know, I think they'll go with a more traditional Freeman Arenado type guy, and I assume Javi probably finishes in the top five. You know, that wouldn't be a shock, but yeah, I don't see him racking up a win. You know, even though he might deserve it.
Now, you know, of course, we're gonna, you know, coming from being a Cubs fan, you're gonna make the case that me, of course, for Javi. But is this the year where, you know, you keep mentioning Arenado? Is this the year where he gets some kind of recognition and not that, oh, well, he plays in Colorado?
Yeah, you know, I guess you do wonder, you know, and the way I kind of look at it is, could this be the makeup award year? You know, because there were other years he could have won it, and they took other people over him kind of because of that excuse. You know, well, he plays in Colorado, maybe we should look at somebody else. Maybe this is the year they finally decide, well, you know, he's kind of earned it over these last 3 or 4 years, so we give it to him. You know, I mean, that's kind of possible. You know, or you could even look at, you know, Freeman, maybe it's the year they finally go, well, the Braves are finally good, you know, because they weren't going to give it to Freeman when the Braves were under 500. The only guy who's going to win that award is Mike Trout. We've been over that. But now that the Braves are a good contending team, maybe Freeman's candidacy is a little more serious and he gets the win.
Well, and if they still place, you know, Braves as a whole finish above the Nationals, does that even help boost it more? Because like you said, not only are they on a contending team, but they're a contending team that ousts the team that I think 999.99% of everyone who follows baseball thought that the Nationals would just own the East.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you would have to think that would play into it a little. You know, again, it's so hard to tell with, you know, with these voters, because, you know, obviously they're wildly inconsistent. And, you know, just going back to Mike Trout, you know, the other day, Ken Rosenthal mentioned that, well, you know, they no longer take record into consideration. Well, you and I both know that's BS. They just don't take record into consideration when it's Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, they're not looking at, you know, and I mean, you can even go back to last year. Joey Votto was probably the best player in the National League last year, but the Reds stunk. And while he got some MVP votes, he wasn't going to win the award. There was no way they were going to give him the award.
But they don't take record into consideration.
Right. And, you know, and you know, only when you're Mike Trout do they not take record into consideration. And, of course, you know, they can't say that. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, they said, well, you know, we do this because it's him and, you know, this is how it's going to go, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, that's just kind of what it is, and it's what we got to live with. And, I mean, they are going to do everything in their power to give him the award every year because they've deemed him the next all-time great player. You know, and I mean, you and I both know he's a great player. We don't need to shove down our throats like they do it. You know, and I mean, it is interesting that he's a great player who hasn't won anything. And you wonder if he ever will. Will he stay with the Angels long enough to win it?
No, and the only thing that will make him one of the greatest is when he decides that he doesn't want to stay there and comes on over to the Pinstripes and actually wins
the
World Series over there.
The Yankees and the Red Sox. So.
Yeah, but you know that's another thing. I mean, when they talk about the greats of the game, you know, what is it that made them, you know, made these people great? And for this half of the, well, I don't want to say this half, but let's just go from this decade or this decade, this half of the century, the greatest players have been the guys with the bombs. And, you know, he hasn't been the guy putting out those big numbers when it comes to home runs. But I think the biggest part of why they are just so on top of Mike Trout is because he plays a clean game. You know, and I think that's what the writers want, is that, you know, well, he's the greatest player because, well, you know, he's like the Tim Tebow of MLB, Major League Baseball.
Yeah, there are no questions. Mike Trout's never been accused of PED use. You know, that's never came up. I mean, you know, at one point in time, there was even a question about Albert Pujols. And I believe he had to threaten to sue a writer who accused him of it, wanting to know where the guy's proof was before the guy backed off on the story. Because you know how it is. I mean, once you hear these guys associated with it, even if it's untrue, you're always linked to PED use, even if you didn't take them. So... you know, and that's just kind of how it goes.
I mean,
but yeah, Trout has never been linked at all.
No, and I get that. I have no problem with getting behind a guy, but the fact that plugging him as one of the greatest, when again, you know, I mean, we both know it. One player isn't going to make that big of a difference, especially on a baseball team with, you know, nine guys that have to contribute. But they put everything around him. And this team has never, you know, really met their potential. So that could be part of it. But while I don't have his numbers in front of me, I feel like he's fairly consistent. But I just can't make the case for being the greatest baseball player of this generation.
No, you know, and obviously he still has a ways to go. You know,
Well, and maybe
this
generation,
you know, this is 2 years in a row he's been injured.
Yeah.
So,
but the way they put it,
have...
it's like he's the only guy. He's like he's the only guy who's great at the game. And I mean, you travel over to San Francisco, and you got a kid who's now a man who came up with the Giants from behind the plate, and of course, you know. That dispels any greatness. You can't be one of the greatest players in baseball if you're behind the plate, you know, unless you're Johnny Bench. But other than that, nobody else can be considered that. A young man, you know, who has three rings.
Yeah.
One of them in his rookie season. And he was taken out of the game in 2011, you know, which established the Buster Posey rule. He's got his own freaking rule. And then he comes back. And performs at a level that he should not have been able to with the injury that he sustained, and wins another World Series the year after a major debilitating injury.
So, yeah, you know, there are those guys. I mean, you know, I know, you know, another guy where injuries have kind of worn him down the last part of his career, but, you know, Miguel Cabrera has been a pretty good player since walking into baseball in 2003. So, you know, they won the World Series his first year there. He managed to win two MVPs in back-to-back years in the Mike Trout era, you know, even though for the life of me, I still don't understand how a guy wins a triple crown and there's a debate over whether he's the MVP or not. That was still one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, because I remember the guy going, well, you know, he's really not a great base runner and he doesn't steal bases. Yeah, who cares? He won the triple crown. When was the last guy to do that? Batting average really doesn't matter now. It's more about, you know, OPS plus, you know, this plus this, and then what's his WAR? Yeah, shut up, idiot. You don't deserve to even be reporting on baseball. That's just that simple. So, you know, I mean, you just give it up right there. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you wonder how a guy like him is going to finish. I mean, he was easily on his way to 3,000 hits, but injuries have cut him down. He played 130 games last year, even though he probably shouldn't have got close to that total because he played hurt, and just 38 this year, and, you know, he's done for the season. So you just kind of wonder now, you know, at age 35, you know, he needs 334 hits to get to 3,000. So he needs about two full seasons probably, and he would get there with the kind of hitter he is because he's a career 316 hitter. But can you get that out of him at age 35? But, you know, you would think he's got to go down as one of the best hitters of this decade, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, at least the last 10 years.
Yeah. So, you know, but, yeah, so, yeah, it's just kind of it's kind of humorous how they pick and choose where they're going to apply their logic is the best way to kind of look at it, because, you know, sometimes what's good for this person, you know, good for this person's argument isn't good for that person's argument. And they're definitely not unafraid to change, you know, to change what they're thinking to get their point across. So,
yeah, and I think that's what's irritating the most. And, you know, that is even comparable to when Theo came over to the Cubs and tells us that we're going to have to suffer and, you know, kind of go through this stage of a couple of seasons with 100 losses and, you know, we're not really going to spend money and, you know, we're going to kind of quell the free agent market and not really be big players in it. But then we're going to go and sign a guy for $50 million. We're not going to spend money on any, you know, huge out there big names, but we're going to sign a guy for 50. You know, it was kind of like, hey, you just took back what you said. It didn't make any sense to me. And, you know, like you said with the MLB, MVP voting, it's always the American League. Well, it doesn't matter where the Angels are. They could be, you know, the best team in the American League or the worst team in the American League. And we'll just give it to Trout, even though he missed, you know, 77 games this season. But in the National League, Nolan Arenado could have the best numbers on every, you know, record or stat that there is, including WAR. But he plays in Colorado, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. So.
And they missed the wild card by one game. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, where, you know, now, like, the Angels they're currently an under 500 team. You know, they hung around in the playoff race for a while. But, yeah, you know, now they are currently a under 500 team. So, you know, as they continue to fade and Trout continues to sit out, you know, we'll have to see how this affects things. But, you know, I mean, we're looking at a guy last year. He only played in 114 games. You know, he had really good numbers, 306 with 33 RBIs. He still managed to finish fourth in the MVP voting. So,
well, if
you know,
here's the odd thing as I'm reading Moneyball, which I'm, you know, what, how many years am I behind? But, you know, Amazon gave it for free, so I figured, hey, what the hell? If you're following Bill James' philosophy, RBIs aren't really consistent with proving the worth of a player.
It's right.
Because that's more of a matter of chance. So, okay, he's got 33 RBIs, but the batting average doesn't really tell you all that much either. It's OPS and something else, so...
Yeah.
How did they make that case? What kind of philosophy are they using?
Right, which is, you know, incredibly humorous to me because RBIs don't mean anything, but don't you want a guy who can hit with men on base?
Yeah.
So wouldn't that equal him driving in runs? And I'm just guessing here. I'm just taking shots in the dark here. I'm not You know, I'm not Bill James. I'm no baseball expert or anything. But, yeah, to me it just seems like they kind of go hand in hand. You know, I mean, again, you know, Trout is, you know, this year, I mean, he's having a really good year. You know, he's hitting .309 with 30 home runs. He does have just the 60 RBI. But, you know, he's one of those guys who's not hitting in the RBI position. You know, they've been batting him second a lot of the time. So, and, you know, on the plus side, he's got more walks than strikeouts, which I like. He has 99 walks to 97 strikeouts. And he has still 21 bases, so his numbers are fantastic. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with what he's doing. But, you know, I mean, you look at the numbers guys like Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez are putting up, and they're doing it for a team that has 80 wins, while Trout's team has 57 wins. So how does that add up? So.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one of the things where, you know, it shouldn't just be, you know, what's the god-awful number of voters, 500-plus voters for the MVP, except for that one guy who decided to quit because, you know, I forgot this dumbass reason, because everyone takes steroids. So so he quit. But, no, I mean, I think it's high time that the writers or, you know, Hall of Fame or whoever, start to piece together some criteria. I mean, Bill James has been writing these yearly things since 1977. You're telling me since the last 30, 40 years of baseball that they haven't been able to establish some more solid criteria for how the MVP is voted on? As opposed to, well, I like these guys.
Yeah. I mean, like, the thing that I always have a problem with is, are you voting for the best player, or are you voting from the best player from a playoff team? You know, because for many years, and obviously they'll deny it, it's been the best player from teams in contention for playoffs. Until Mike Trout kind of wandered in, and everybody realized what a great player he was. Then all of a sudden it was okay to kind of start looking for these other guys. Oh, hey, wait, we can pick somebody else? What are you talking about? So, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what they shake out or what they work out, but, you know, either way, it'll give, you know, you and I something to talk about, right? That's the big plus about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be busy this off season, so.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I don't know. And I don't think Trout's in the Angel lineup again tonight. I haven't officially looked. I'll have to check, but yeah, he's been out quite a while with that. Whatever. So,
no, but
we'll,
I mean,
have to see.
Well, I guess we'll go back at it tomorrow.
Well, we'll have to wait till tomorrow to get that thing. The music is going to have taken off, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. On sportsradio.com, get over there and check out the new plan. Hit that link and follow over to the Facebook page. Just get a like button over there, please. Don't forget to like the Twitter feed as well, which is at sportsradio. You can hunt the headline on Twitter if you'd like to do that, but always. Big thanks for coming on and listening live. I appreciate when you do that. But remember, anytime you want to listen to the podcast, all you want to do is head over to tunein.com and you can pick it up there.